in your brain, you're in the Nerd's Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Nerd's Domain Podcast. This week, it's an immediate movie review.
Doo, doo, doo.
Is that our new tone?
No, that is not our new sound.
Hello.
So this week, I'm here with Shirley.
Hello.
And I am no, you cannot speak Minionese through this whole thing.
Aww.
And I am, of course, Matt, and we're on new equipment, so if it sounds a little different, hopefully it sounds better. That would be why. But we're going to talk about Minions.
Woohoo!
There you go. Get excited.
Hello.
So, Shirley, we went and saw Minions.
Yes, we did.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as funny as I expected. They let a lot out in the trailer, so...
They did.
is this going to be spoiler-free? Or spoiler-free?
No, well, we're going to get to a point. So, if you don't want to hear the spoilers from Minions, that's perfectly fine, and we perfectly understand. But
you can listen up until the...
Yeah, we'll warn you. There may be a bumper. I may just say, hey, we're going to get into spoilers now.
Yeah.
If my internet was going to work, I was going to actually look things up, but my Chrome has just gone, and it's going so badly that it's actually causing the recording visual to screw up. So Minions, starring Sandra Bullock and John Hamm.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite actors. We also get Allison Janney.
Yep.
And
do you know who that is?
Yeah, it's what's her name from West Wing. And Jeffrey Rush is in it.
Who was Jeffrey Rush?
The narrator.
No, he wasn't the narrator.
I'm looking at IB.
Really?
Yeah, IMDb literally says Jeffrey Rush narrator.
Huh. I didn't realize that was him because I thought it was someone else when they did the trailer.
So it was directed by Brian Lynch, known for such things as Puss in Boots and Hop, and some Despicable Me stuff, but not the actual Despicable Me movies. He also directed he was an actor in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Hold on.
Did you go off on a tangent?
No, oh, that's the writer.
Did your phone
I'm sorry.
Go
that's
off on a tangent?
That's the writer. It's the same people from Despicable Me, I believe, that did.
Yeah, I was going to say. I don't think they would let that change hands.
The director for this, the directors were Kyle Balda and Pierre Coffin. I assume it's French.
No. Well, that's assuming a lot.
It is. Known for, Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. But it's, they're following along the same steps of what they used to do.
I felt this is very different than a Despicable Me movie.
What do you mean?
It felt like, I don't know, in... Maybe it's because, the Despicable Me movies are focused on Gru and his timeline and his story and things like that. This felt like, I don't know, it had the same kind of layout as a Despicable Me movie, as in it had a story and it was following something, but it just didn't feel like maybe the writing was off or something.
I think you're seeing as an issue or different, not necessarily an issue, is that this went from being a Minions as a supporting character to Minions as a main character. And I'm not sure they're main character material. I think they're great at antics.
Right.
But unlike to give a feel for it, because this is the same stuff that I would say normally anyway. Mo, Larry, and Curly, great. Three Stooges are great. They get a little old. That's why they were originally in shorts. They're not in two-hour-long movies or hour-and-a-half-long movies.
Right.
They're built to do quick gags and move on. They tried really hard in this to make Kevin, Bob, and Stuart heroes or protagonists, but I don't want to say.
You think it fell short a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not saying like they failed, like it was terrible, but it just wasn't. It wasn't exciting and fun.
Yeah. Okay. So now I'm kind of visualizing, seeing why it felt that way. They really, even though they have their own language, it felt like you were just watching a lot of antics all the time. There was like 75% antics and then 25% story.
Well, and especially at the beginning of the movie, like, it wasn't hard to follow, but there was clear, like, we were getting zero dialogue while there was still dialogue on the screen.
Right, and I felt like the whole beginning of the movie was, like, the first trailer that came out.
Yeah, and essentially, and we could have, I mean, I get why they put the trailer out like that, that's a good sell, but if your trailer is the first chunk of the movie, but that is just a little bit longer, I don't know. I think maybe this one was over trailered too for me, because I typically watch a trailer and then I skip everyone else because I don't want to be over.
Movie.
Yeah, I don't want to be over spoiled. I had to do that a lot with the Marvel stuff, and maybe that was the mistake here. Maybe I watched too many trailers and I knew too much of what was going on. There were surprises, there were extra things, but we all knew Scarlet Overkill was going to be angry at the minions and turn on them.
Right.
We all knew that they were going after the crown. We all knew that hijinks were going to ensue.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't know exactly what the hijinks were going to look like, but, you know, I don't know. It felt we were oversaturated.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like, now that you said that, I feel like I expected more backstory.
The
very first trailer that came out, you know, it kind of told all of the backstory that you see. Yeah. You don't really get any much more than that.
There's a little bit more, like, no spoiler here, but the minions served Napoleon.
Yeah.
Like,
you see that whole thing in the...
You don't see the Napoleon thing, do you? Did I miss that trailer?
Yeah, it's in the trailer.
Yeah, I just, like, there's not enough there, and... It really felt like it fell short on what was going on.
Yeah.
But that said, I don't think that it's a bad movie. I think this is a kid's movie, and we're looking at it in very different mind frames.
Yeah, mind frame. But the thing is, I felt like, I mean, we watched Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2 a couple weeks ago I didn't get that enveloped emotional feeling that I did from those two movies with the minions.
Yeah, and I think it's because, well, one, they don't have character arcs. Which is important. You need a character arc for a character to grow and change and learn and so on and so forth. They tried a little bit, and there was a little bit with Kevin, but Bob was still Bob at the end of the day. Stuart was still Stuart at the end of the day. We saw no character arc. So, I mean, and I hate to deconstruct a kid's movie like this, but this isn't just for kids. They knew they were writing for adults.
Right.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. They knew they were writing for adults, and I think they fell short. I think that there was a lot that could have been done that wasn't.
Exactly.
Do you disagree?
No, I, you know, I hadn't thought of it like that, but I agree with the point that, you know, Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2, you're writing for a generalized audience, not just because it's animated doesn't mean it's aimed at, you know, children. So, yeah, I think maybe the writing did fall short and they let too many spoilers go out.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so the movie starts out, and this isn't super spoiler either, with the Universal logo coming across. And everybody knows the Universal. You may not realize it, but you know, everyone knows the Universal intro music.
Right.
And the minions are singing along, which had me rolling. I mean, it was just great. But then the laughs stop. And it tells a story. And I'm not saying that it has to be laugh a minute. It doesn't have to be. But at the beginning, there was a lot of laughs. At the very end, there were a lot of laughs. And throughout, I don't know, the gags fell a little short. Maybe I was just expecting too much. Maybe I was expecting more.
I think that's what with Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2, you know, you got this consistent story and kind of slapstick comedy.
Yeah.
And then with this, maybe they tried to make it too much of a too serious of a story, because I felt like, you know, and I don't know how they make animation flow very well, but I felt like we kept getting like screenshots. Like it went from this scene to, okay, now we're in the next timeline, and okay, we're now in the next timeline, and they're in, you know, the city, and then all of a sudden they're on the side of the road, and
yeah.
You know, that's not spoiler, because that all of that is in the trailer too, but you never get the in between story of those scenes.
Well, and I think that's the same thing where I don't know. I agree. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think that a lot of what we also see is that, there's nothing to play off of. They don't play off. They play off each other, but they've always done that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no main focus for someone else, and then they just happen to be along for the ride. They work really well as sidekicks. And
right.
And in this, they are, I don't know. It just doesn't, I don't know if there was just because it was just the three of them and we needed more minions.
Right.
Or if it was because they are not leading characters and we got leading, we tried to get leading characters.
They tried to write
them.
Leading characters, yeah. Out of it. Yeah.
I, you know.
That
I,
may be it.
And again, I don't, it wasn't badly directed. Like, the story was well put together. It wasn't great. It wasn't laugh a minute, but it was like, it had its highs and lows. It was missing character development, but so are a lot of movies. This is a kid's movie. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, I still enjoyed myself. I like the movie.
Yeah.
I will probably own it when it comes out.
Definitely.
I don't know if I would go see it again in the theater, though.
If it were in the dollar theater, I wouldn't mind.
I don't even think, I'm not
really
sure I would do that, see it in the dollar theater again.
So let's get into the actors real quick. I really like Jon Hamm. He's the main character on Mad Men. I think that he has the ability to be a really good actor. I think that he fell short. He was Mr. Overkill, Herb.
Herb?
Or Blurb.
Blurb.
Jon Hamm was just not, it wasn't him. It was some character, and it could have been any voice that did that. Sandra Bullock was, I think, good.
Right.
Scarlett Overkill, but she wasn't quite over the top enough in some points.
Has she done any other animated work? Because
I don't know. And, you know, I was thinking the other day.
And I like Sandra Bullock a lot.
Well, I was thinking the other day, like, why is she in this? And then I realized, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but she's getting older. She can't play the young, like, the cute young whatever.
Yeah, like Practical Magic.
Or Miss Congeniality or that kind of stuff.
Right.
Which, ironically, one of the last movies she did before this was Gravity. So that's, you know, that's totally different.
I don't.
That's a huge, like,
the
drama role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, that's middle-aged anyway. Which,
yeah, no, that one was fine,
so.
But I don't see anything where she's done voiceover work before. That doesn't mean I'm missing something here.
Right.
But I'm seeing a lot of, she was in Prince of Egypt.
Oh.
She was Miriam.
Oh,
I've never seen.
I have that movie, but I haven't ever watched it. I keep wanting to watch it.
I just assume that since you own it, you watched it.
No, I picked it up meaning to watch it, and I haven't ever watched it.
Well, you know, she can't play the character from The Net or While You Were Sleeping anymore. She is
right.
She's not old, because I don't want to say that. She's definitely not old, but she is not 20 anymore. You know,
right?
And now that I've said that, I am going to go look and see how old she really is. Wow, she is 50.
She is not.
She is 50.
Wow.
I mean, I have nothing wrong with being 50, but
no, I just I hadn't
yeah, I
realized,
didn't realize.
I thought she was younger than I am.
No, she's yeah. So I mean, she's hitting an age where her role as an actress is changing,
right?
And doing a voiceover work, like, she was the starring role here, not the minions. I mean, as much as the minions were the stars, her name was first billing,
right?
Which, you know, that makes sense. And then Jon Hamm was second billing, but again, I felt like that could have been anybody. It didn't sound like him. It didn't seem like him.
Like, I'm not really familiar. I mean, I don't watch Mad Men, so I'm not really familiar with his voice. So
yeah,
Yeah, for me, it could have been anyone.
I'm really disappointed for Jon Hamm. Like, he is a better actor than the movies he's been getting, and not necessarily just this one. He was in that $1 million baseball movie with the three kids from India.
The arm.
Yeah,
I know.
$1 million
what
arm
about.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know that movie kind of tanked. And then there's this one, which he's not going to get enough credit for.
Yeah.
I don't think he should. But
yeah, I think the audience expectations are changing, and it's going more toward, you know, they want the action, adventure, and Marvel, and beat 'em up. And so the feel-good movies, I mean, there's still an audience for them out there, but, like, expectations for that have gone...
Well,
like, are really low.
And I also think that Jon Hamm works better as a time-locked person. He does really well in the 60s. I think if you put him into a crime noir movie, I would watch the crap out of that, because he has that chiseled jaw 50s feel to him.
Mm-hmm.
If he played Black Jack Justice,
mm-hmm.
If he played Jack Justice from Black Jack, from Dakota Ring Theater, that would be phenomenal, but that's the feel of him. He's a hard-nosed detective. Like, he has that time period feel to him. And maybe it's just because he was a madman, which is all set in the 60s,
yeah.
But he still has this certain feel to him. And in my opinion, this just was not the greatest
role for him. Yeah.
So we are going to get into spoilers. We talked 15 minutes without spoilers, so we'll switch over a little bit.
Okay.
The story
Spoiler. Was... Beep, beep, beep. No, it should be bee-doo, 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 bee-doo.
So, the story was just kind of... I don't know. I enjoyed the movie, because I'm about to tear up the story, too. Like, the story was kind of terrible. It wasn't great. It was just like...
It felt perforated.
Perforated.
Yeah,
easy,
like...
Easy to tear off.
Yeah, like you get these like pieces of story throughout the whole movie,
yeah,
and you never really get the whole story. Like, I think the most fluid part of the story is when they were after they got to London the day after that they slept. Like, that was the most consistent.
Yeah.
Story.
It's like everything else was building up to that point.
But there was no build up because you just had like flashes of pieces of the story.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like the car ride, it was like you got 3 or 5 minutes of the car ride and then
they're
in Florida.
And then they kept throwing
and
in
we're
those
in Florida.
They kept throwing in those characters like we should care about them.
Yeah. And like the bank robbery, like I'm like, okay, we know these. I mean, the hint at, you know, with the black cat and Allison Janney's character had scissors and was doing something, and then they're like, oh, who wants to stretch their legs? And you felt like you might get some story out there, but then they had the bank robbery, and I'm just like, where does that fit into the story, you know?
It establishes that there's this... It does actually establish a bunch. It establishes that there's more than just this convention. There's a whole culture to the crime, and that anybody can be part of it, and anybody can want to be part of it. And I mean, there's some
to
that.
But the thing is, you could have gotten that from Scarlett's speech.
That's
when
true.
She was,
that's true.
When she was there. So... I think maybe they should have developed that family backstory a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, flashback, like each character in the car could have did like a 30-second flashback. Well, this is how I develop. And
all of the characters seem very flat. Like, it's like,
right.
It's like they believe
that. The little
girl
was the most rounded one in the whole car.
Well, and it felt like to me, like they couldn't round out actual evil characters. Like, you can't show somebody being evil, but still be a good person. Like, oh, we robbed a bank, but we're evil. But we're totally good people though. Like with Gru, he has a change of heart. And we get that he's being evil because he wants to be the evilest evil, not because he's hurting people.
Right.
But these people just robbed a bank, and that's different.
Right.
So it's a weird, like, I mean, for goodness sake, Gru went to the Bank of Evil to get a loan to be evil. That doesn't make any sense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing is not him robbing a bank so he can then later pull off a bigger heist. He went to the bank to get a loan.
To get a loan, yeah.
So I don't know. I really feel like they didn't want to give depth to these characters to make, and maybe it's because they're showing evil characters being evil and they don't want to give kids the reason to go rob a bank. Like, they don't want to make these characters sympathetic, but by not making them sympathetic, they make them very flat and very unlikable.
Yeah. Not that they're unlikable, but that there's just no connection to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
there's nothing to
care about. And like by the end of the movie, all they do is they turn in, you know, that family turns into groupies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, basically. And you're just like, okay, it just felt like they could have been anybody or anything, and they could have cut out most of the time with the family in the car, because it basically, that whole story, that whole part of the story cumulated into nothing. Like,
yeah,
it
yeah.
really didn't
yeah.
accumulate into anything.
Other than they were going to the same...
Culminate. There you go. Culminate. That's what I meant.
They were still going to the same convention.
Well, I mean, yeah, they were going to the same convention, but you could have done that with 2 minutes. Like,
yeah, that's
they
true.
Jumped in the car,
well,
and
they did,
then
they did
they're
it
at
in
the convention.
Less than 2 minutes with the trailer.
Well, yeah.
I mean...
I think, like, they should have left it at that and not tried to incorporate any story in that part of it.
You know, I feel like they kind of... oversold and then underdeveloped Scarlet Overkill too. She was supposed to be this big, like, powerful first super, like, first woman in super villainy, and then she comes home and immediately, like, something, there was a weird interplay between her and her husband Herb. Did you get that feeling? Like,
it's story development. You never get a backstory. You never know why you need to be emotionally connected to these characters.
Yeah.
And literally, I'm thinking, like, what part of the movie was not in any of the trailers that I saw?
The giant minion.
The giant minion, the queen in the bar.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was pretty awesome. Like, I love that because you know, when Queen Elizabeth, the movie, came out, I fell in love with her line. Of queens.
Okay.
And then, you know, this is Queen Elizabeth whatever, and I feel like she's still on the throne now, and it's showing, like, a strength of character that she has.
Yeah, it did. When she fought the minions.
Yeah.
Like, she was kicking butt, and I was like, oh, like, they were going to get caught, like, and had it not been for the Sword and the Stone and so on and so forth, but, like, she was serious, and I was like, wow. Like,
she's the matriarchy of this country.
She was a much stronger female lead than Scarlet Overkill was.
Yeah, yeah, to a point, she was, because Scarlet Overkill basically, you know, went on the fear factor. Like, you had to have some reason to fear her to be loyal to her.
Yeah.
And the way that they wrote Queen Elizabeth is, like, as she was there, she's going to fight for her country and her position, and, you know, and therein lies the loyalty to the queen.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Overall, I think that the story was overspoiled by in the trailers. Yeah.
Overspoiled.
And then underdeveloped in the writing.
There was a lot of expectation that you got from the spoilers.
Yeah, there was.
Or from the trailers.
Well, might as well call them what they are. And it's not like it's a super long movie here.
No, not at all.
We're talking an hour and 31.
Yeah.
I felt like there was a lot of development to get them to the point where they hit New York. It had to have been 20 minutes or more. Like...
But it wasn't even development. It just, I mean, you're seeing the first trailer that came out, and you're you're basically just seeing these snippets of time through history.
Well, and the Yeti showing up in the cave after Bob Stewart and
Bob Stewart and Kevin.
Kevin leave. Well, Bob Stewart and Kevin leave, and then the Yeti show up, and they start, the other minions start seeing them as the boss. What was the point? Like, what's the point in those
like
Yetis?
The family. It felt like the family in that car.
Yeah.
Like, it was just something to up screen time or something.
At least the family in the car got them from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like the Yetis even did that.
And maybe we're missing the point of the whole movie. Maybe, and I just thought this when you were talking about the Yetis, like, maybe the point of the movie is to show that, no, the minions aren't lead characters. They are what they are. Because they followed the Yetis, you know, they put on that theatrical show, you know.
Well, and we don't realize that until, I don't know.
We don't realize until what?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Oh. I don't know where I was going. That's
okay.
Where were
you on with
that? I don't think that was the point of the movie. I don't think that's what they were going for. I think that's where they ended up, but I don't think that's what they were going for. You know?
Oh, at the end of the movie, they end up with Baby Gru. Young Gru.
I was almost hoping Dr. Nefario was going to be somewhere else in the movie, but Dr. Nefario never shows up.
Yeah.
And when we see Gru, I was excited about that because it essentially leads into Gru. This is a prequel, clearly.
Yeah.
And we all knew it was a prequel going in.
Right.
But, like, we get to see Gru, young Gru. He had to have been, like, 10, maybe. Yeah. We get to see him doing his thing, and that's great. But that's, like, 2 minutes of the movie and the trailer. And the credits.
And the thing, I guess, what I don't understand is I was very happy to see Gru because that kind of rounded it out and it showed you, okay, this is where the backstory for Gru and the minions begin. But in the trailer, in one of the trailers, when it shows them going into New York, it says 1968, 20 years before Gru.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't, you know.
I think it was also trying to give the watchers of that first one a feel for what was going on. Like, time frame wise.
Right. But it wasn't 20 years before Gru, because they met him in that movie.
But also, you'll find that studios develop trailers before movies are done.
Oh.
So it's very possible the writing wasn't done, and they got to the end, and they were like, okay, well, what's our ending? Crap. What is our ending? And, and that's what they came. And I'm, you know what, whatever. If the trailer lied to me a little bit on accident, it's not a big deal.
And I guess, you know, the trailer kind of the movie matched, you know, scene for scene what the trailer was, and when they pulled into whatever harbor that was in New York, and it said, you know, New York 1968, it didn't say that in the movie today.
It did say 1968,
it
didn't say pre-Gru.
It didn't say 20 years before Gru, so I think they finally realized what they were going to do and took that out.
You know, instead of this, I think they could have made a different prequel with Gru in the whole time. The prequel should have started with him grabbing the crown at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
He didn't yell freeze ray, which he should have.
Right.
But whatever. Not a big deal.
No, because remember, he didn't ever do that until Lipstick Taser taught him how to do that.
No. He yelled it prior to. He always yelled freeze ray and then fired.
Okay,
I'm saying is, like, we could have seen an early heist of Gru instead of as a prequel.
And then it kind of flashing back to how the minions got to Gru.
Yeah, they could have shown us other things, and it could have been Gru and not Scarlet Overkill. It could have been something where we felt there was more development of the character.
Right.
A character we already cared about, which we didn't get that.
Yeah.
I mean, we all love the minions, but we didn't know Stuart, Kevin, and Bob yet.
Right.
So they didn't matter.
Stuart, Kevin, and Bob, when?
We didn't know them in Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2.
Yeah, they're the main minions.
That's Dave.
Well, there's Dave, but Stuart.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe you're right. You always see them in the miniature stuff in the stores.
They all look the same to me.
Whoa. Racist. That's a minion racist statement.
Yeah.
So, I think if they did exactly what you said they should have done by using the opening scene as Gru stealing the crown,
yeah,
and the freeze ray thing, and then using that as a point to kick off a historical kind of documentary about the minions and how
documentary?
They got documentation
documentary.
Documentary.
You put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
You know what? Tomato, tomato, dude. I'm just saying. Potato, potato.
Yeah, you say it wrong. I know.
No.
Aunt.
If they use that style to document their history up to Gru, and then, you know, the ending scene be them flying off.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a good story.
All right. So we've picked it apart quite a bit. Let's go into ratings. Like, I don't want to sit here and be like, and poo-poo on the movie anymore.
Well, no. I mean, the movie's a good movie for what it is. Like,
oh, yeah.
I liked it. We laughed. It was funny. I'm definitely going to pick it up to add the collection.
Yeah.
So
out of 5 stars, what do you think?
I'm going to give it a 2.
Wow, a 2.
Yeah, a 2.
Wow.
I was going to say 2.5. That's half, 50%. Yeah. Because it just...
You realize 2 is bad, right?
2 is bad?
2 is below average.
2.75. Okay, 3. Fine, 3.
Yeah. Okay.
3.
Okay. And that's coming from somebody that loves the minions.
Yeah, I mean...
I really wish that people would quit using... I wish that people would quit using the minions the way they used to use Tweety Bird for every freaking meme out there about being a jerk.
What? See, I don't spoil my childhood, please.
Yeah, well,
my now childhood.
I'll point it out to you next time I see
no,
one.
No, don't tag me any bad memes.
No, I'm not
going
to tag you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to walk up and go, this is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that there's a lot that could have been better about this movie. I think that they could have done a lot more. They could have done a lot better.
Different. They could have done things differently.
They could have done things better, too. I'm going to stick by that. But... It's not a bad movie.
No.
It's the story is better written than a lot of things I see that make way more money than God has. I mean, there are worse written stories that get better praise, and
right.
And I don't want to be like this, but Furious 7, at least there weren't giant jumps of I'm going to have to just pretend that should work that way. Furious 7 had those. Like, oh, did these two cars drive into each other? We'll just accept that. No. I didn't have to do that. Well, other than the basics of
those cars would have been decimated
at that
speed.
And other than the basics of, okay, I have to accept that there are minions. Oh, now I have to accept there are Yeti. I guess in a world where there are minions, I can do
that. Wait. And the thing was, I thought they were going to tie Monsters, Inc. into...
Wouldn't that have been great?
I thought he was just going to show up. And I was like, oh my God, that's the tie-in.
Well, this isn't a Pixar movie. They can't. This is an Illumination movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was... Oh, but the soccer movie is a Pixar movie. Oh, they just showed the previews.
What soccer movie?
The little soccer dudes that come
Underdogs?
Alive from the guy... Yeah,
that's
Underdogs.
Not a Pixar movie.
I saw the Pixar logo somewhere.
That was not a Pixar movie. That is another terrible... That movie looks terrible.
No, it does not. Whatever.
We'll get to that one
You just
time.
Don't like underdog movies.
No, it's not that I don't like underdog movies. I don't like movies that glorify being a bully, showing the bully with all the money, and then have to make the underdog fight just to keep what he already had.
That's the whole point of an underdog movie.
No. No, an underdog movie should be fighting to get something more because you deserve it because you have worked harder. And the jerk that isn't working harder is the person you beat. Like Herbie the Love Bug. That's an underdog movie. He's a freaking bug.
He's a car.
Right, he's a VW Beetle, and he wins a NASCAR race. Because he's Herbie the Love Bug.
Okay.
My point.
Now you're going crazy.
No, I'm not going crazy.
Okay, anyway.
Off topic. So I guess I'm going to get back to my rating.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a 3 out of 5 as well.
Yeah.
It's not bad. If your kids liked Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2, this is a movie you should take them to go see. But if you would rather not watch that kind of thing, then skip it.
Yeah, skip
honestly,
it.
If this isn't your thing, you shouldn't see it. If you didn't see the trailer and go, I kind of want to see that, then don't see this. This is not for you.
Yeah.
This is going to be a waste of your time at this point. Overall, I don't think it was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Nope.
But it could have definitely been better. There are points that Fell short. Fell very short. Good?
Good.
All right. So this is July 12th. I'm going to...
I have no idea. I haven't even been keeping track of days.
No, this is July 12th. So, whose movie is this, Shirley, in the draft?
Is it mine?
Yes, it is. I just told you by pointing at you, you shouldn't have asked that question.
Well, the thing is, it looked like you pointed at yourself.
Oh, no.
It's my movie in the draft. No. So, how am I doing?
Well, this isn't going to show up on the draft yet.
Right.
But I'm betting I'm in first place.
Probably.
Oh, I think I am. So, next month in August, because I will probably wait till then. Wow. Oh, yeah, I'm in first. I'm in...
Like, way in first, or,
I'm
like,
probably
a little in first?
I'm 100 in... Well, that's weird. In the chart, I'm 150 million up. In the actual rankings, it says I'm 95 million up.
Hmm.
Weird.
It's overselling you for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Next up, though, is August, and what do you want to see in August?
I don't know. What is there to see in August?
Movies. Actually, none of my movies, because, you know.
So, name some of them off, and we'll pick one.
Okay. We're not seeing Pixels, mostly because it's in July, but also because I'm terrified of that movie.
Why are you terrified of Pixels?
There's a clown.
Where's the clown?
They talk about fear. Not Pixels. I'm sorry.
Poltergeist?
Sorry. Inside Out, we're not seeing.
Oh.
Pixels, you're right. That is also still in July. Fantastic Four, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Hitman, Agent 47.
Oh my gosh.
And Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, The Green Legend.
No.
Those are what's left.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, none of those sound good.
No, all of them sound good.
Fantastic Four looks terrible.
Crouching Tiger.
Man from U.N.C.L.E. looks terrible.
What?
Actually, that one looks palatable. But that one, oh no, that comes out after Gen Con, so that'll be
fine. You have too much, like...
I don't. We'll get into Fantastic Four after.
I would like to see Hitman or Man from U.N.C.L.E.
We'll go see The Man from U.N.C.L.E. because Hitman, the first one, was not great.
You know what I would like them to redo? I would like them to redo The Saint.
Yeah, you saw that.
That
on...
would be amazing.
I did like the nod in the movie today to The
Saint.
Yeah. So we'll shoot for The Man from U.N.C.L.E. We may not see The Man from U.N.C.L.E., but coming up in September and October and November, there's good stuff coming out. We are not seeing that Peanuts movie. You can go see it without me.
That's fine. Alex and I will go see it.
It's a terrible looking thing. Oh, okay. So anyway, you have been listening to The Nerd's Domain. This has been an immediate movie review for Minions.
Be-doo, 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 be-doo.
You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. You can head over to our website at nerdsdom.com. Sign up for the newsletter on the right-hand side. You can go over to patreon.com/nerdsdomain. Support us there. Just as a reminder, there are a lot of things you guys don't hear at home that we cut out for editing purposes.
For our Patreon subscribers.
We'll cut it out for editing purposes, just for length. We also sometimes cut it out for content. We'll just call it content. Inappropriate content. But there's also some stuff that we just cut out.
It's not inappropriate. It's just adult.
It's inappropriate for PG-13.
Exactly.
Which is where we shoot for. So you are missing out on all those opportunities. And if we get high enough on our Patreon backers, great things are going to happen, which we need to rework so that we can actually get anywhere near that. But you can support us over at Patreon, which would be great. Patreon.com.
We would welcome that.
Patreon.com/nerdsdomain. You can also go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating there and find our shirts over at /loot.com. And we'll talk to you guys real soon.